There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Time to turn our attention to a very special individual who's in our midst here. And in fact, who better to get into the studio to discuss making a difference? Because that's been the topic of conversation throughout the last 3 hours. We've been talking about the wetlands conservation, the Ramsar Convention that's going on here at the moment. We've been talking about new plastics policies here in the UAE, back in the UK as well. The question we've been begging you is the differences that you make individually. Do they actually have an impact? Impact on a larger scale and globally? If making a difference with ourselves, if making a choice ourselves, what change can that affect on a larger scale? Well, that's one of a number of questions that are going to be put into our next guest for this, our third and final hour of the show. A woman who has encountered an extraordinary life of circumstances, a woman that has had an inert ability to defy and conquer anything that is put in front of her, that falls in her path. Somebody who's managed to push through incredible boundaries to become a truly successful entrepreneur in a number of realms, a charity campaigner, a world record holder, a Paralympic ski racer, amongst many other things. I'm not sure an hour is going to be enough to get through all of the achievements, but certainly one of the most successful businesses to date that she's put her name to is international multi-award winning plant-based vegan ethical food company known as V-Bites. We'll be working out whether it's come here to the UAE, what the future is for V-Bites, amongst others. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio entrepreneur, charity campaigner, world record holder, businesswoman, media personality, activist, and of course, the brains behind V-Bites. Heather Mills is here live with us in studio. Great to have you with us.
Lovely to be here.
Thanks so much indeed for taking. I know it's so busy when you come to places like this and you've been here, there, and every. In fact, you've been on the QE2 in the last couple of days.
I know, I couldn't believe it. I got this email from the office saying, do you fancy a trip to Dubai on the QE2? And I was like, I thought the QE2 was ported up, and they said, no, I mean, you've got to fly there and then sleep on it. And, you know, my generation, I'm now 50, 51 in January, you know, that was, you know, the second most famous ship to the Titanic. But if you remove the Titanic, one of the most iconic. So I was like, yes, what's it about? And they said, it's the World CEO Forum, and they want you to come and discuss the future of the healthcare problem and plant-based food and numerous other things. So how could I say no?
And you've been there, you spoke there yesterday, you've been involved in the forum itself. Was it a positive experience? Was it a good experience to hang out with other CEOs?
It was fantastic. I met a lady called Maria the first night, and we're doing ready meals for America going in January. And I'd always had this idea to do a ready meal for women who wanted to lose weight and be healthy, plant-based wise, a bit like the Jenny Craig Weight Watchers system. And she happened to have started it up with Jenny Craig and ran it. So I said, great, you're the person we need. So that was the first meeting. And then the second one was with a guy from China who set up health clinics here. And my mum was a homeopath and acupuncturist. So we had a lot to talk about. And then I started talking to him about acid reflux and what the solutions in Chinese herbs were, because the biggest problem at the moment is people have digestive disorders. And I had Lyme's disease. It wasn't diagnosed for 22 years until my immune system collapsed with a huge stressful situation. And then my digestive system collapsed. So I started developing hydrochloric acid and digestive enzymes. And couldn't believe that people are shoving Gaviscon and PPIs and antacids down their neck, which is an alkaline. It's like sticking something on top of a volcano. And I said, you need more acid. I said, you know, when you watch those thrillers and you shove the body in the acid bath, that's what you need. You need more acid to go on top of it. And it worked, and it changed thousands of people's comfort and lives. And so I always add that into my speech, because everybody in the room has generally had a drink or two the night before and is suffering from acid reflux from too much meat and alcohol. And people are starting to listen. You know, they're starting to realize that putting more plants into their life is going to help their health.
Talk to me about, we're going to get into V-Bites in just a minute, because obviously now selling in multiple countries the world over. You've been working tirelessly at this for many years now. But you took to veganism many years ago. I don't want to use the word trendy because veganism shouldn't be trendy.
Before it became known.
Before it became known, really, yeah.
Have you been? It's not a trend; it's the future now.
Which is what I wanted to get onto. Have you been taken by the sort of pace of change for vegans and veganism in recent years?
No, because we created it. So we were ready for this. And 25 years ago, when I lost my leg, crushed my pelvis, punctured my lung, back from the war in former Yugoslavia, which is why I say to people, don't worry about doing dangerous sport. You know, nothing happened to me in a war. And I just crossed the street and a police motorcycle chops my leg off. When I got put in hospital, they kept amputating my leg more and more. Mm. The infection kept going further up and I didn't want to lose my knee. So my girlfriend ran in and she said, I hadn't seen her for a few years, even though we communicated, she'd suffered from breast cancer. And she said, you've got to go vegan. You can't let them take your knee. And I was like, this is 25 years ago and I'm a Geordie. You know, it's all meat and vegetables and potatoes. And but I was willing to try anything. And it's unfortunate that it takes for us to get ill before we start actually looking at our nutrition. We're so busy running around trying to conquer the world and do well in business that we're not looking after ourselves. So she dragged me off to Hippocrates in West Palm Beach and stuck me on every disgusting wheatgrass juice and, you know, everything in every orifice. And within 2 weeks, I had healed completely. Mm. And at that time, I was front page news for overcoming adversity, for losing a leg, being an ex-model, even though I was a businesswoman that just did a few weeks modeling, but it was quite funny. Mm. And I then basically started writing booklets. And because I'd worked in the war in the former Yugoslavia before I lost my leg, I decided I could use that money to start collecting recycled limbs and educating people on how to look after themselves and get healthier. That's where it originated from. And I missed the taste after a year of burgers and pizzas and things, but I didn't want to eat animals and I wanted to eat healthy things. So that's when I started replicating them. So we have 540 V-Bites products now that replicate every single thing you have on as a plant-based version.
You are a living example of the benefits that a vegan diet can have on one's health, on one's survival in many ways. Is that something that since you made that choice after the horrific trauma that you've mentioned there as well and has been well documented, you got to see it from a very personal point of view. Since then, have you been able to research a link between the two? Has it become more and more obvious to you and others since then as well?
Well, I took a degree in nutrition and I studied food science and then I started getting more into mental health connections between the mind and the stomach. Yeah. So we make so much serotonin in our stomach and then we wonder why we have these ups and downs, why the moods happen. And when your digestive system is overloaded, you know, it stops spring cleaning your body. So the illnesses evolve and people basically get more and more sick. So I found that even when I got people onto a plant-based diet, I realized that some people can't convert what you call a short-chain fatty acid to a long-chain fatty acid. And so then I realized that people were having lots of fish, which has the long-chain fatty acid in, but omega-3 doesn't come from fish. It comes from the algae the fish eat. So everybody's going around buying these omega-3 capsules, popping them like crazy, and it's the secondary source. Mm. And I thought, you're destroying the marine ecosystem. It's just simple solutions for big problems, and that's how my brain works. It's very simple. And I just basically say, why are we having the secondary source? And they say, well, that's what we do. Mm. You know, and that's the problem. It's just always what we do. So we've started developing this algal oil for the last 15 years. Of course, the pharmaceutical companies don't like it because it really helps depression and it's going to be inexpensive and available, which is what I'm trying to do, is not make only the elite be able to afford things that are good for them. And every 2.5 tons we grow depletes CO2 by 1.5 tons. So for countries, especially like the UAE, it would be ideal to grow the algae here because you have the sun all day and that's what we rely on. I've got loads of big companies trying to buy it, but I'm absolutely no way going to allow them to use it for animal feed because that's what they're trying to do. They always go back to what they've known rather than educate themselves. So they say, well, that would be good for fattening up the animals to eat the grain to feed the people. And I'm like, why don't you just eat the blooming algae or the grain in the first place? Why are you going around in circles? You know, it's just doesn't make any sense. Mm. And I know people like to have burgers and pizzas and things, so that's the only reason why I replicated those products. So that if you imagine your cheese is an opiate, it's scientifically proven. Anyone that wants real facts should go and read Professor T. Colin Campbell's China study. It was a 30-year study between China, America and England. And he was a dairy family guy, and he wanted to prove that dairy was good for them. Well, after 30 years of data and study, he came back, said to the government, oh my God, dairy is the worst thing you can put in your body. It's behind all the illnesses. It can switch the cancer cells on and off, literally, with all the tests. You have to stop it. Of course, the American government didn't want to hear that. They got it and put it under the table, tried to shut him down. And then I helped him and his family. And then this book's become huge now, and Bill Clinton's gone vegan on it. You know, Lewis Hamilton, you know, all these big celebrities have now realized how they can eliminate a lot of the medication they're on. But I don't tell anyone to come off their medication. They need to fully understand what they're doing. But if you run it alongside and learn what's good for you, then you will find, you know, we did 4,000 kids for 10 years in the Bronx. Mm. Type 2 diabetes gone. In
gone.
3 months. Gone in 3 months. 100% gone. Type 1 diabetes down to 3 insulin injections a day. And the reason I worked on that was a lot of the majority of the people that I counsel lose their limbs from diabetes when they're older. The breakdown, the overuse of the insulin that they keep giving themselves just to balance up a horrific diet. And so that was my motivation there. That worked. Brain function went up by 69%. Asthma was reduced massively because it's a big effect of dairy. And eczema. So all this information and knowledge has been scientifically proven. Yet, why do we still have the problem? It's consumer choice and availability and great taste in food. And everyone's trying to replicate our products badly. So when you get a guy going, oh, I'm not going to be a vegan, and then you give him one of our burgers, they just can't believe it. Whereas if they've tried a particular other brand that tastes like cardboard, they won't go back and do it. So I'm trying to raise awareness that these products that are innovative and good for you is what I call for the mass market, the flexitarians. Mm. It's like going over the bridge. Ultimately, on your plate, you want to have whole foods, beans, pulses, lentils, vegetables. But you're never going to do that, you know, for unless you're ill or really, really smart or you can basically control your appetite. So we have to give them the replacements if that's going to happen. And the reason at the World CEO Forum this has worked is you have a huge healthcare problem.
Yeah.
And if you keep your employees healthy and happy, as we do in my companies, you don't have healthcare problems, you don't have sick days, and we just feed them great vegan lunches and they love it and they ultimately become plant-based.
We are in conversation with Heather Mills. It's great to have Heather here in studio with us because, well, lots of people are texting in. I love this, Heather. This shows that your commitment to plant-based diets and your knowledge of it as well. Because we've got Afsana who's just texted it in. Say hi, it's Afsana. I'd love to have the details of this fascinating doctor who's on air with you at the moment as well. Because whilst I might be talking out of term now, I haven't put you down as a doctor, but given your knowledge of this subject, you are. You've done a doctorate on it pretty much, haven't you?
Well, I have a doctorate, but it's in human security. Yeah. I have a PhD in nutrition, but yeah, I know the subject, but I only went to do the degree to have the lettering so the scientists would take me seriously. And I learned nothing on the degree because they're so behind on what's truly good for you and what's not. And I think the reason I've learned it all is because it's happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, I got Lyme's disease. Two of my organs were removed. You know, I've got half a leg missing and the other bits are just about intact from ski racing. So I think it's just from experience, trial and error, and then testing it on thousands and thousands of people. And that is the only way to make things happen. You know, some people, I can't have cauliflower. If I have cauliflower, and that's a vegan, great vegetable, I go from 6-pack to 6 months pregnant. You know, I swell up like a balloon. And I videoed it once to show that if you don't have enough hydrochloric acid, any food, no matter how good it is, does not digest. So it just ferments and you get cramping and bloating. And that's why so many people are so confused about why they have so many digestive disorders. And it's actually when you take the time to separate them all out, it becomes very simple and you really learn what works for you and what doesn't.
Talk to us about setting up the business. Talk to us about V-Bytes as well. You set it up 25 years ago now. Was it straightforward or not?
No, it's been a roller coaster like crazy, but now we know exactly what we're doing. And it was trial and error. I set up some cafes and restaurants that were community cafes, non-profit, just to test them into the market and to get healthier food to people. And I wanted to see what the response was. And there was a huge response. That when we opened on the beach in Brighton, 3,000 people turned up, which surprised me. After loads of people complaining that I'd bought and renovated a fish restaurant, they were horrified. But when they saw we do vegan fish as well and six different kinds of milk, because everybody just keeps consuming cow's milk when it's meant for baby cows, and that you can get almond milk, oat milk, coconut milk, rice milk, every milk going. So I tested products and we found that there were about 50 products that just people consumed en masse. And then I bought a tiny little factory and developed them more and more and more. And now we have 540 products. And the reason we have that many is because we're in 24 countries. So the cuisine tastes of Sweden are completely different to ours. I don't want like a funny bratwurst blood sausage looking thing, even if it's vegan. But they love it and it's a huge seller. So we specifically do new product development technology for the country's specific cuisines. So in Dubai, because they love sugar, we've come up with a whole range of sugar-free cakes.
Okay.
So they're stevia-based, mixed with another zero glycemic sugar. So for diabetics and just for health, for kids, for everything, it's going to be better. We have a zero-calorie cola that we'll be bringing here that I'm working with at the moment. So that people stop having the horrific aspartame and saccharin and all these carcinogenic things because they're addicted to it. So I'm trying to enable, when I started V-Bytes, for people not to feel they've got to give up a lifestyle, because the word diet is lifestyle, but everyone's now using the word diet to just think they've got to lose weight.
Yeah.
And that's not what diet means. It's about changing your lifestyle. Yes, have something naughty when you feel like it, but in moderation and occasionally. But if I can do that with plants, it's easier to digest and people have a big burger and feel like, you know, they're having fast food, then that's what happened. I replicated McDonald's 15 years ago identically and they were going to run with it. And then the CEO changed and said, oh, it's not the time for that. So that's why I set up my own cafes and restaurants. But that's the future. And you have here Prince Khaled Al-Oued that I've been working with.
Yeah.
And he's going to be bringing, you know, fast food chain here. He's very innovative, very ahead of his time, and I hope very respected because he's a fantastic person. And we've had a lot of discussions about what's needed, and he really wants to help the health system. You know, all countries have the same problems. You know, only Sweden are ahead of us all because they have a vegan option in every school in the country as law virtually, because it's not just about being plant-based. It's about, you know, lactose intolerance, children that are suffering unnecessarily, having colds and mucus from all this dairy. They need the alternate. And so it's no good complaining about something if you don't come up with a solution. And that's how V-Bytes came about. I was fed up just hearing people complain and not come up with any solution. So I was like, yeah, there might be global warming because of this. There might be health issues because of that. But what are you doing about it? And that's what I try to do in all the arenas I work in, whether it's landmines or prosthetics or sport, helping inspire disabled people to overcome adversity and do a backflip in high heels or whatever it might be. It's how can we solve the issue and create a simple solution?
We have to go to the news headlines now, but I just want to touch on this one because so many people texting in about it. V-Bytes, UAE. Are we nearly there at the moment?
Nearly there. Discussing with Spinneys and a few others at the moment. But we'll definitely get it so you can buy it online because supermarkets take a little bit of time. You know, they have to delist products and there's a few in there that are pretty horrific that they could chuck out and put us in there instead. But we need to keep the price down, you know, and that's what's really important. So I'm looking to try and manufacture here as well, because then we can keep the price down for people who don't have access to funds.
With the founder, the brains behind the plant-based cafe chain and vegan food company, V-Bites, which is now a recognised brand the world over. And as we were just hearing from Heather Mills, hopefully here in the UAE sometime soon as well. Deep in negotiations there that soon it will be available here on the shelves in the UAE. Heather, I really appreciate your time this morning. I just want to sort of pick you up on something you mentioned just then. And we've been talking about the science, we've been talking about the merits of plant-based diets, we've been talking about putting good, well, you know, put what you put in is what you get out, etc. If you just solely do that without having drive, without having ambition, without having a willingness to make a difference, is it going to have the same impact, or do there have to be a marrying of the two, physical and mental?
Well, I think, you know, to me, you are who you are when you're born, and you obviously have certain DNA and genetics for your personality, because why would you get two kids from the same family with the same treatment, with the same turnout, completely different? But at the same time, we have found a huge connection between nutrition, digestive system, and mental health. And the world over has huge mental health conditions. And we've also found that because so much meat and dairy is pumped with antibiotics, and in the case of America, growth hormones, this is having a huge effect on people's health. It's, you know, why the kids are getting more sick now, why we've got these illnesses we didn't have before. Mm. It's also because we are consuming that much more meat and dairy. When I was a child, you know, you had it once a week if you were lucky on a Sunday, or maybe a Saturday you had a sausage. But, you know, if you came from a working class family like mine, you didn't have money to buy it. Now people are having meat and dairy for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and we're over consuming so much. And that is such work on our digestive system that we're having more depression. You know, our body can't digest it properly, and we're not taking out all the vitamins and minerals and the nutrients. So people need to, one, slow down, because what's really funny now, and you have to laugh because it's completely nuts, is every time you meet with somebody, you say, how are you? And they go, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great, I'm busy. I'm great, I'm great, I'm busy, I'm busy. And it's literally, everyone's just running around like clucking chickens. Like, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it's this, it's because of your nutrition. It's because there is very little equilibrium and calm in yourself. Because if you're pumping yourself with all these drugs, your whole, your body's in disarray. You know, the reason antibiotics aren't working like they did, and obviously they were a great invention in many ways, but they do disrupt the digestive system massively, is because we're drinking them and eating them in our products every day. Yeah. So we are becoming antibiotic resistant, and that affects your mental health. And so it's about, if you eat healthy and you look after yourself and you do exercise, you not only help yourself, you help your mental well-being, you help the animals, you help the environment, you end up being a better worker, you're not having healthcare, you're not, you know, going on benefits and putting burdens on the taxpayers. It is a domino effect, but it all starts at that epicenter of good nutrition. And where is it coming from? And what are we doing to ourselves? And, you know, it goes back for huge generations. You know, we're not meant to have been living past 50, you know, and we're doing all these things with drugs to extend ourselves. We had all of the solutions, and the pharmaceutical industry, as great as many things are, killed our digestive system. Because if you look in the hospitals before the World War, it was full of colonic irrigation cleansing units. Not particularly a nice subject, but now we take tablets for everything. And cancer cures. It's unbelievable, the billions that go in to try and cure something rather than the prevention of nutrition, stopping that happening in the first place. You know, 5 or 6 people might be genetically predisposed to have cancers. We all have those cells, and bad nutrition switches those cells on and off. And so prevention is everything. And I want to make sure the world we've messed up and our generations before us is not that world that our kids go into and have to fix on our behalf. You know, that we need to fix it now.
you've helped to fix it. You've made a difference. You've made a difference in healthcare. You've made a difference in food. You've made a difference in what we consume, what we put in our body, but in so many different other fields as well. And that sort of goes back to the question that we started out at the very beginning of this show at 10 o'clock this morning, making a difference in light of the constant feed of information we have, whether it be us losing our wetlands here in the UAE at the moment and worldwide, whether it be the plastics we're putting in our oceans as well. What do you say to those that sit on the sofa and go, well, me drinking out of a straw isn't going to make a difference to the planet, or me doing something today isn't going to make a difference? Can we all make a difference?
We can all make a difference. It doesn't have to be on a crazy massive scale, because everyone's got busy lives and they're not as nuts as me. But there is a massive way that you can make a difference from those little things. You know, we developed the bamboo straws, the recyclable things. When there's idealism and there's realism, you know, we would love to have plastic free packaging, but nobody's invented it that's cost effective that the supermarkets are willing to pay for. So eventually we'll get there. There is a seaweed plastic, but it's only on small Just Eat tomato ketchup packs. So we are getting there. But in the meantime, you know, if you can go and buy your vegetables fresh and not buy everything in plastic wrapping all the time, you are making a huge, huge difference. Mm. And if you can, you know, get recyclable, even better biodegradable, but that's very difficult with frozen and heavy refrigerated products. If you can, when you're even cooking little things, instead of putting the tap on every 2 minutes, have a dipping bowl between cooking what you're doing. Just dip your fingers in it. If you actually analyze on a meter, which we've done, because I'm always fascinated by these things, you would save gallons and gallons and gallons of water every week. And there are people who don't have access to water in the world. So we need to kind of slow down and stop rushing as much and be more productive by thinking about what we're doing and being a bit calmer, and the world will be a better place.
Help make a difference as well. I love that little phrase you use. Not everyone's as nuts as me as well. And I just love that, because I look at, you know, what you've achieved, from the business that you've set up to the charities that you've campaigned for, the world records that you've set, the Olympic, the Paralympic ski races that you've been in, the TV shows as well. There always seems to be something that on the horizon for Heather Mills, something next, something, another challenge as well. Is that a fair assumption? If so, what is next for Heather Mills?
Well, I'd like to jump off the Burj. So if that's possible, that would be nice, which would be fantastic. And I'd like to make sure every country ends up with its own facility to produce healthy, quality plant-based food within its own country. So obviously we need to ship to start creating the momentum and for V-Bites to get into the countries. But ultimately, I would love that things weren't shipped. I would love if people became self-sufficient in their own country and their own community. Yes, we need trade and things like that. But actually, when you actually micro-analyze it, countries that are starving, they're actually paying debt back to us in Europe. And they could live off the grain that they're sending to us to pay their debt while their kids are starving. It's just unjust. And this huge divide between poverty and wealth, it repulses me. 80% of my money goes to charity. I keep 20% to live on. I have a nice lifestyle, but I don't need to fly on private planes. I don't need to do these things. I go economy in Europe, and the money that I save between economy and business, I give to my charity. Mm. And people say, you're nuts. You know, if it's long distance, I'll go business, because my leg being one leg, it swells up and I've got to take it off and I can't freak out the economy passenger sitting next to me, which I've done a few times. But you know, it's like the little things you can do to make a difference. And I'm telling you, it becomes like a drug. When we've fitted up 400,000 people with artificial limbs, we've cleared 21 million square meters of mine-filled land. And people say, oh my God, that's amazing. You're wonderful. I go, no, I'm not. I'm selfish as anything. It's the biggest buzz ever. Mm. When you turn up and you see these people walking that couldn't walk, or you watch these landmines being cleared, or you see someone overcome their health issues, that's a buzz. And that's the drug of endorphins that everybody should get hooked on, is making a difference. Not just thinking, can I buy the next designer handbag or dress or this or that? Yes, treat yourself to it, but don't make that your focus. You know, these people that are obsessed with the Kardashians, It's just unbelievable. You've got two types of millennials and their kids. One that are celebrity obsessed. So those celebrities should utilize what they have to make a difference. And then the other side, you've got these really super smart people who question their parents and say, why am I sitting eating this cow, mummy? I don't want to eat this cow. Mm. But the mum's not educated and she says, you have to eat the cow. You've got to have the protein. We have more protein in our vegan burgers than cow's meat. So educate yourself. Look after yourself. Unless you look after yourself, you can't look after your family properly. And it is literally as simple as that.
Mm. If people want to find out more, Heather, as I said, we could talk for hours, but unfortunately we've got to draw a line here. Social media, the website, you've got a dedicated website, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got vbites.com for food information, and we've got heathermills.org, heathermills.org for anyone that wants to know the endless things that we get up to or wants to, you know, get ideas on what they can do. And yeah, we've got the Instagram, Heather Mills Official. I'm rubbish at all that social media, but I do work with the team on it. So yeah, anybody needs anything, that's great.
Details we'll post up on our site as well. So we'll have all the links there. And I'm sure that's where to go to find the latest on jumping off the Burj. That's one for the bucket list, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Heather Mills, I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much indeed for coming in. Thanks for being in Dubai. Thanks for being part of the World CEO Forum. Thanks for coming to The Agenda. And thank you.
Thanks for having me. Keep spreading the word.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.